Today on Real Radio.
Now, you and I talk about the doctrine of future things. We talk about the future things from this month of this year looking forward. But guess what? I hope you get this. This is fun.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. Bible scholars sum up this area in one word, eschatology. And as we'll hear Pastor Jack point out, more than a quarter of God's written word deals with eschatology, that which has yet to take place. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things.
And then how about this? Couldn't the Bible be a man-made deception perpetrated on all of mankind? Answer, nope. And we'll prove that today. Isn't this fun? I love, you know the Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And faith is boldness. When you have faith, you have boldness. And I thank God that our boldness is in the Lord and in his word. Your Bible is a communication given to us from, an extraterrestrial God who gave it to us outside of our time world. And he speaks into it, and it's perfectly flawless, and it can be proven. And that makes me happy. That makes me happy. And so listen, when someone says things like, or when we look at these claims, the thoughtful critic will make such claims, and I'm grateful they do, but they often say that you Christians only and always use the Bible to prove the Bible. Have you ever heard that? You Christians always use the Bible to prove the Bible. That is both true and false. That is both true and false. Let me explain. When we are accused of using the Bible to prove the Bible, that is both true, but that's not the only thing we do. We don't have to only do that. You want to know why? Because here's the truth. Our God is so big. He's given us the Bible, and he's given us time, creation, the age in which we live in. I even say this. I'll go so far to say, he's even given us the observable sciences to prove. So as Christians, I want to make this announcement loud and clear. We are often accused of saying you use the Bible to prove the Bible, and so your argument's false. No, we don't. We use the Bible, and we use God's proof of existence outside the Bible to prove that God's word is true. And that is an easy argument to substantiate. So don't let anybody pull the wool over your eyes on that one. That's not true. Another thing is this, that the Bible makes statements that claims that the Bible is, yes, outside of our time domain, but they'll say that the Bible, you know, because it says these things, make these grandiose claims that it's somehow not reliable scientifically, and that again is exactly false. But the number one thing scientifically, church, you want to put down, and I mean this, I keep saying scientifically, but I absolutely mean this, the number one thing to prove both the existence of God and the validity of your Bible is fulfilled Bible prophecy. Now, you and I talk about the doctrine of future things. We talk about the future things from this month of this year looking forward, but guess what? I hope you get this. This is fun. If we go back 1,000 years ago, the same is true to that generation. 1,000 years ago, the Christians back then had their life in that year of that century, of that millennia, and they looked ahead. Is that not true? What if you go back, listen, what if you go back based upon the verses we just read 3,000 years ago? What if we go back 4,000 years ago? What if we go back 5,000 years ago? What if we go back to the time of Abraham? What do we know? We know this. God spoke to Abraham prophetic language. Did you get that? Now, all of a sudden, those of you who say, I don't want to talk about Bible prophecy, you have to. Your very salvation is rooted in Bible prophecy. Our faith is connected to the father of our faith, Abraham. God spoke to him prophetically in prophetic language and said, oh, by the way, Abraham, your future will be blessed because what I'm about to do with you. That's futuristic. That's called eschatology. So you don't need to be scared of it. You don't need to be afraid of it. It's thought-provoking, to say the least, yes. But it's awesome. Don't run away from it. In Isaiah 1:18, the Bible says, God speaking, he says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. He wants us to know these things. The Bible tells us, mark it down, I got to go quickly now. Watch this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 begins this. Knowing this first, so God's speaking to us, know this, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means you've got to read the Bible in light of the Bible. Don't make stuff up. For prophecy never came by the will of man. That removes cults. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved, possessed, inspired by the Holy Spirit. Next verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The Bible says of itself. Now look, we're critics this morning. We're cynics. That's what the Bible says about itself. That's okay, write it down. The Bible says of itself, God gave it. God spoke. God possessed humans, 40 of them, in the authorship of the Bible. Now this is amazing. God so possessed them that they wrote under the inspiration of God. He controlled them, that in a 1,500-year period of time, all of them writing about one central figure, a man by the name of Jesus Christ. That's the theme of the Bible. Not one of them contradict each other. Not one of them made an error. Both linguistically, scientifically, historically, archaeologically, that is awesome. I want you, nobody can claim that in the world. Nobody. No other religious group. That's why I'm a Christian. It's brilliant. 1 Peter 3:15 says, this is what the result ought to be. But in your hearts, revere or set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer. You hear that? An answer. The Christian should have all the answers. To everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. You know why it's awesome? He has to hold you back. Now, Christian, you've got all the answers. I got to hold you back, though. Just be nice when you give people the answer, because don't be some smarty pants and run people over with all that you know. Be humble about it. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Isn't that great? Man, you know, Christians, on Sunday mornings, we ought to wind Christians up. We ought to wind, okay? Remember, I should have worked for Disney Illustration. That's what I see in my mind. I see you with a big crank handle on your back, and I'm winding you up with truth and turning you out, and you're going to be going out into the community like this, talking about Jesus to people, giving answers to everybody. And the Bible says when you do that, you got to be humble, though, because you got all the answers. You know your Bible. Isn't that beautiful? I love that. So I want you to understand something. We'll get into this a little bit. Go ahead and put up on the screen, you guys, something that's rather revealing. I don't know if you know this about yourself, but it's our first definition for us today regarding eschatology. The words of future things are the study of end time things or the end time words. Believe it or not, you are here today. I know people hate this. We all hate this. Because first of all, we're Americans. We don't like to be put in a box. Don't crowd my space. Don't define me, right? That's great, but it's tough. This is the way that it is. Dependent upon how you were brought up in a particular denomination. So remember your childhood upbringing as a believer in whatever denomination. For example, many denominations study the Bible in what is called an all-millennial view. All-millennial. So what does that mean? Millennial, it's a Greek word, Latin also meaning 1,000. All-millennial means no 1,000. No. Meaning, well, see, what does this mean? Theologically, it means this, that Jesus Christ does not actually return to earth and establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. He doesn't really sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He doesn't really ever get a chance to do his government. It's typological. It's metaphorical. It's spiritualizing. It's amillennial. Who are these people? They're called post-tribulation, or most post-tribulationists are in this camp, post-tribulationalism. Post-millennialism teaches that at the end of the millennial period of time, there are certain fulfillments made in Bible prophecy and established. Now, what's interesting is the amillennial group, they believe in a post-tribulation rapture view. The post-millennials at the top in the middle, they believe in a mid-tribulational view or pre-wrath view. You'll know this more in future weeks. The premillennial view, what is premillennial? I think you're getting the gist of what we mean here. Premillennial means that Jesus Christ returns not at the end of the millennium or does not return at all like the amillennial. The premillennial group, I'm premillennial. The premillennial team says Jesus Christ comes back literally to Israel, to Jerusalem. He literally sits on the throne of David that's going to be established, and he literally rules and reigns on earth for 1,000 years. Why do we think that? Why do I think that anyway? Because I am a premillennialist, meaning I believe in the Bible literally, and it's very simple. Listen, the Bible says of itself, believe me, literally. And by the way, when it's poetic or typological, I'll tell you. Did you know that? I hope you get this, everybody. For example, you figure this. Is this literal? Listen carefully. Is this literal or typological? When Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water. Listen carefully. And the Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. I'm going to ask you a question. The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove. Did a dove land on Jesus' head or shoulder? See how smart you are? That's typological speaking. I saw a dragon rise up out of the sea like a seven-headed flaming. It's typological. When the Bible says, and Jesus Christ returns and comes to the Mount of Olives and to Jerusalem, there's no typological talk there. It's for real. You understand that? It's so simple. I'm a premillennialist, meaning I believe what the Bible has to say, literally. Because of that, I am pre-tribulational. That means I believe Jesus must come back based upon the premillennial view before the Great Tribulation period. Again, you say, why do you bring this up now? It has nothing to do exactly what we're talking about. It has to do with the foundation of eschatology, the foundation of future things. You need to know this now, because if we go any further, you're not going to be happy. You're going to be debating all kinds of things where, man, I was taught some other way. I was taught that Jesus is not going to come back. Oh, he's coming back, all right. But I don't want to convince you of that. I want you to be totally convinced by the Bible. And then very quickly, listen, I'll give you a little bit of a proof text regarding our argument. The greatest wonderful thing that you and I can hang on to as Christians, Bible-believing Christians, is what's called predictive prophecies. Can you write that down? Predictive? Predictive prophecies. Why is that important? Because when somebody asks the Christian, I suppose you believe your religion's the one true religion. The answer to that question is yes, but here's why. It's not because I got goosebumps one day when I prayed. It's not because I saw the face of Jesus in a tortilla. It's not because I saw the shape of a dove in a cloud. It's not because we ran around the sanctuary barking and yelling and crying out. No. You know why I'm a Christian? You know why we believe what the Bible has to say? Is because of predictive prophecy. So what does that mean? It means this. In Genesis chapter 3:15, I'll paraphrase, but you can write down these verses. Why you are a Christian is because of predictive prophecies like Genesis 3:15. Moses writes thousands and thousands of years ago, Genesis 3:15, that God says, I'm going to put division between the offspring of man and the offspring of Satan. And from the offspring of man, the Messiah will come. God makes the statement thousands and thousands of years ago. We've got to wait and see if that happens. Then he says again in Genesis 12:1. Now the Lord spoke to Abraham. That's awesome, because if you want to get excited, Abraham pre-existed Moses. Abraham was called God's friend before circumcision, before the law was ever written. Now the Lord said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. That's prophecy, friends. You don't need to be afraid of it. God prophesies and says, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Well, that's interesting, because the word in Hebrew carries with it not just a nice guy. Oh, Abraham, I'll make you a nice guy. I'll make you somebody so rich everybody's going to want to know. That's not what it means. From you, old man, the world will receive the blessing. You know, we kind of celebrate that at Christmas. Genesis 12:3 says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And here it is. And in you all the families, nations of the earth shall be blessed, shall be delivered. What a statement. Church family, those of you who are afraid of Bible prophecy, get excited. That's a prophetic statement. God says, in eschatological terms, Abraham, I'm going to take your old dusty life, and from your DNA, I'm going to bring forth a person, a human, that is going to be eternal, who will be the deliverer of the world. That is awesome. Listen to this, 2 Samuel 7, verse 12. When your days are fulfilled, speaking about David, and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. David, listen to this. King David, from your DNA, I'm going to set somebody up who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. You say, well, so what? Well, keep reading. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom for how long? Never. Oh, my goodness. Who possibly could that be? Again, you celebrate that truth every Christmas. Micah 5, verse 2. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, which, by the way, there were two Bethlehems at the time of Jesus' birth. This is written 543 years before Jesus was born, Micah 5, 2. The prophet, under God's possession, is so accurate, ladies and gentlemen. This is awesome. Any skeptic in the house? This is cool. Go back and read this. Listen, you can read what I'm reading. You can read this. This prophecy existed 500 years before Jesus was born. It's been in print since then, till this very day. Are you with me, everybody? Are you tracking? Yes. Micah says, keep your eye on Bethlehem. Oh, by the way, the one in the county of Ephrathah, not the other one. Why? Though you are little among the thousands of Judah, little villages, yet out of you shall come forth to me, God is speaking, the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting. The eternal one is going to be born in Bethlehem. This same one is recorded in Psalm 2, verse 2. This is predictive prophecy. Predictive prophecy. This is why we're Christians. God keeps his word. Psalm 2, verse 2, written 1,000 years before the birth of Jesus, 3,000 years from now. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his, the word we read, anointed? It is the word Mashiach, Messiah. God is sending a Messiah. He said that, church, 1,000 years before Jesus came. Psalm 22, predictive prophecy, verse 16. My enemies surround me like a pack of dogs. An evil gang closes in on me. David is prophesying. They have pierced my hands and my feet. David's feet and hands were never pierced. I can count all my bones. My enemies stare at me and gloat. They divide my garments among themselves. They throw dice for my clothing. That's exactly what happened at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Predictive prophecy. Now, church, why isn't any of this stuff important to us? Why is it important to us to know the future? because God says it's important. Can you write that down? God says it's important. He says in Hosea 4:6, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. Listen, my heart breaks. I know young people today, and as I said earlier, they're coming out. They think they know their Bibles. They're coming out. They're graduating from Bible universities and colleges, and they are prophetically, eschatologically ignorant of what the Bible says about the future. And what does God say? My people perish because of a lack of knowledge. The second thing today is because the Bible is the only book. So, boy, that's a statement. The Bible is the only book. I know it's a huge claim. I'll admit that. But I'm also going to add this. The Bible has been proven beyond any shadow of a doubt. I'm going to give you two passages of Scripture. In 2 Peter 1, Peter says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church family, listen, skeptic in the house, non-believer, listen. You are hearing and reading Peter, a real person. He really lived. He really wrote this down. What did he say? We were eyewitnesses to his majesty. Peter said, eyewitness said, I saw Jesus in his majesty. That's what the eyewitness says. Luke chapter 1, verse 1. This is what Luke says. He was hired, by the way, by Theophilus to gather data on Jesus. And Luke went around. Listen, the Gospel of Luke. Luke went around and interviewed people living at the time of Christ, and were eyewitnesses to him. Listen, as much as many have taken into hand to set in order a narrative of those which have been fulfilled among us, just as those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word delivered them to us, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you in orderly account, most excellent Theophilus, that you may know this with certainty, or the certainty of things, those things in which you were instructed. This is a bold statement. Biblical scholar Ron Rhodes adds this. There are more than 24,000 partial and complete manuscript copies of the New Testament alone. No other book, collection of books, or writings come close to having such reliability. And then listen to this. You need to know all about future things because the believer is supposed to know. Did you know that? You and I as believers, we are supposed to know.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. It's one in a multi-part series that focuses on eschatology, that which will take place according to God's written word. You Need to Know All About the Future Things is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies. It's called You Need to Know. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you are a regular listener to Real Radio, or maybe you've just joined us recently, would you let Pastor Jack know? It's easy. Just visit us online. Here's what one Real Radio listener wrote. I survived the death of my husband and went astray. One morning, after a horrible argument with my daughter, I found myself questioning my life, my salvation, my children's salvation, and what I had taught them throughout their life. I started listening to 89.7 Grace FM daily on my way to work, and Pastor Jack was preaching. I downloaded all, and I do mean all, of his teachings on my phone. I rededicated my life to Christ, my Savior, and never looked back. My relationships with two out of my three children are in the process of repair, but I serve an amazing God regardless. My family's been doing awesome, and there's nothing God can't work through as I fully place my trust in Him. I'm thankful for your radio program and for allowing God to speak through you, Pastor Jack. Let Pastor Jack know if you're listening to and benefiting from Real Radio. It's real easy to do. Just visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.